You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave. Hey everybody, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, episode number 264. We're coming to you Thursday. We're recording this Thursday night. It's 7:48 p.m. Anything could happen. It's the eve of trade deadline. We don't know what's going to happen, but I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
We're going to do the episode. We may finish it and then a trade might happen, but we'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe we'll get something breaking as we before we end finish recording here. We'll see. I think unlikely, but you never know. You never know. They're in Colorado right now, just waiting for Saturday night. But look, like hours away from the trade deadline now. So 3 p.m. tomorrow, we'll see what's moving, what's shaking. Who knows what's going on, but. Positive or negative here, because I'm not super positive. I got a lot of negative. I don't know where you want to go, but like, I guess first, like big, we'll get into the trade stuff. We'll get into the two games quickly, more so the Vegas game, but like, is there a big move coming here? Is there a big move coming?
It doesn't feel like there is.
No.
Like to me, it doesn't feel like there is. It kind of the way Tree Living was talking to the media and he's like, it's just quiet out there. Just quiet out there.
Yeah, real quiet. When everyone around you is swinging fucking deals, but
remember we made fun of this last year about Tree Living because everyone's like he's in on everything, guys. He's calling everybody all the time. Well, fucking do something.
Do something. Everyone always Dragger was saying it today. So was Pierre LeBrun. Well, then if you're in on shit, fucking pull the trigger, bud.
No,
pull the fucking trigger.
It's so Let's stupid. Go.
Anyway, hours away from trade deadline now. Big moves coming for the Leafs remains to be seen. We don't know, but here's what we do know. We got a shootout loss, the first shootout of the season. Shootout loss to the San Jose Sharks, the worst team in the National Hockey League. I think they are legitimately dead last. Could be wrong on that, but...
No, they are. They're dead last.
They're right at the basement anyway. So how you lose that game, beyond me. And then after losing that game, you would think like, okay... A game we shouldn't have lost. Yeah, you got a point, but you got to get the division is just clogged, jammed.
Yeah, you don't lose to San Jose. San Jose has the worst losing percentage or the worst road losing percentage of all time in the NHL, this San Jose team. No team has lost more games on the road than this San Jose Sharks team.
Wow. They're an up and coming team. Like I see a lot of good pieces there. Same with Anaheim. Like there's good things, but right now, there's no way you fucking lose to that team on home ice. Like,
not when you have a 2-0 lead going into the third period.
That's just it, too. They blew a 2-0 lead on top of all that and lost in a shootout. So,
in a full two minute power play in overtime.
Oh my God.
Like, you just get it done.
This was signs of things to come. It was like getting visited from the ghost of Christmas past right here. Like, this is it. And I'm like, oh God, you can't. These four guys, because it was in overtime, 4-on-3 power play, right?
Yeah.
Guess who's out there for the blue team? These four guys can't sniff one out. Just can't sniff one out against the Sharks. How the fuck do you think they're going to do against, I don't know, the Rangers or Tampa Bay or the Florida Panthers?
Well, I think what you saw against Vegas, two nights later is exactly what you're going to see.
Yeah.
So Vegas not just overpowered. No, Vegas overpowered them. Their defense is fucking massive. Leafs couldn't penetrate it at all. It's just, they won all those games. Like they went on that winning streak, but it never really felt like a true winning streak. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. They were
sneaking out wins. Like the Pittsburgh win was fucking crazy. Again, and the Penguins suck. You get 1 point against the Sharks, but you still lose the game. I don't know, man. If I'm Tree Living, I'm watching them on the ice. I'm also seeing all the trades happening around me in the division. We're now second place in the division. And if we don't get first, we're going to have to play Tampa or Florida. Why he has not pulled the trigger on something? Unless he doesn't believe in this team. Unless he thinks, you know what? This isn't the year to do it.
Well, how many years do they have left?
Like they don't have many.
No, they don't. So you kind of have to. But look, for me, it's like just going back to that power play again. Like, just brutal. I can't believe they did. I can believe they didn't score, but I can't believe they didn't score. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're
it's
saying.
Like, it's just fucking crazy, man. But anyway, so lost there. Okay, not the best. Going into Vegas, and then here we go, kind of just to piggyback off of what you were saying, like they were winning games coming out of the Four Nations and whatever, but the teams they were playing, but really...
But they were weird wins.
Not playing that great. Let's be serious. Matthews not playing great. Like, Marner's had a couple moments here and there since they've come back, but Matthews, Nylander, none of these guys really playing that great. Like, obviously the Tanev being out hurts, but...
The defense looks awful.
Oh, my God. So we go to this Vegas game. There's only one positive, and I'll get to that maybe after. I'm going to go just negative first here because we're kind of rolling negative out of the gate here. But look, they go into Vegas. They get the fucking doors blown off. Like, let's be serious. Joseph Woll, we can get to him. But, dude, they just weren't in this. Like, the Nyes thing, we're just leave the Nyes thing for a second because we can just spend a whole couple minutes on him there, but in a sec. But just the game overall, they weren't in that fucking game. They gave up four breakaways in the first period. Of course, Joseph Woll didn't play well, but like, he got no fucking help. Nobody was helping this fucking guy. Nobody. No. Like, talk about like coming, especially Chad coming off of that Sharks loss, going into Vegas. Would you think it was going to be a fucking walk in the park here, boys? They're one of the fucking best teams in the league, like a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. Whereas it's looking like the blue team, maybe frauds. Cause I'm not believing that fucking product right now can do anything in the
playoffs. And I mean, not just the way they've played against Vegas, but just their past history too.
But there's like
Vegas has won a Stanley Cup. They always go deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Leafs don't.
No.
I find it fucking crazy that every year all the draft books, like the sports betting apps, always have the Leafs in the mix with like Vegas and Colorado and all those teams that have won cups with the Bruins, the Lightning, the Panthers. They always put the Leafs in that group. Do they belong there? Do they belong in that realm of teams, or are they more in the middle pack of teams?
I think they're more in the middle. Like, I mean, they are upper echelon regular season team. Is that why they're there? I guess it is. Like, that is why. Because, yeah, great regular season. Can't get a sniff in the playoffs. But I don't know, man. Like that was men against boys. That Vegas game. That was men against boys. Little tiny Mitch. And although, you know, okay in the third period when the game was fucking 5-0, Mitch Marner decides to fucking have a little ditzy doodle when, like, they Berube split the lines up. And I want to talk a little bit about that too. I am so sick of the Mitch Austin thing. I'm so fucking over it. Clear. They split them up for one period and Mitch just the third period was his best period playing with JT. Like, I'm just so over like Mitch Austin, JT and Nylander. And if it doesn't work, well, just switch the wingers and that's fucking it. You know what? No. Drop a grenade in that fucking lineup and really fucking spread it out, man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many time and time and time again, those four guys playing together. I know they make all the money. Repeatedly has not worked. Switch it the fuck up. Like, I just want a different, fresh look. Like,
I guess if you're going to play devil's advocate to that, I mean, yeah, in the playoffs or whatever, but. They're first place. They're fighting for first place in the division.
Well,
they have a ton of wins. And no, but I'm just saying, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm saying to play devil's advocate, someone might say those two guys together give you a first place team in the division.
No, I wouldn't say that. You know what I would say?
All season they've been first place or second place in the division, and they've had them together.
I'm going to tell you why, and you already know why. The only reason they're even in contention to win the Atlantic is because of their fucking goaltending. Best goaltending in the league, if not right up there. It's not the four fucking guys up front. It's not the four dudes up front. Not even close.
And watching that Vegas game, you watch Vegas's defense just manhandle the Leafs, like just stop them dead in their tracks. And then you look at Riley and Owe. I'm going to take McCabe out of this because I thought McCabe was the best defenseman, but Riley, OEL. And then you got Myers, Benoit, and Timmons, who just got fucking destroyed. Like, you cannot go into the playoffs with those guys playing. You it, man.
Well, if you do, you're done. You're done. Like, you're right out. You're out immediately. Morgan Riley, look, okay. Like, Joseph, Riley or Wall first? Who do you want to talk about?
We'll talk about Riley and then.
Okay.
Since we're on the D.
So, look, this fucking guy, really all season long, with the exception of a couple games here and a couple games there, what is he doing for you? What is he doing? Like, I would have, if this goes the way I'm starting to suspect it might be going, like another first round loss and whatever, and we don't see much from Riley, whatever. Like, if his regular season play continues into the playoffs, you got to find a way to get out from, I don't know what he's got, full no trade or whatever, but you got to find a way. You ship him out to Vancouver and say, thanks, Mo, but this is not.
Just because he's from Vancouver?
Because he's from, like, he would accept a trade to Vancouver. 100% he would, to move back home, his family and stuff. I think that makes 100% sense. But, like, for me, you want to see any more of this for another 4 years, 5 years of Morgan Riley?
No.
Like, would you give up on him and just be like, okay, that's enough. Like, we can't win with this guy. We always have to find someone to play with him to make him better when it should be the fucking opposite.
They were talking about that on the trade panel. They're like, things that the Leafs need. And they're like, third line center, another defenseman, preferably someone who can play with Morgan Riley. And I'm like, can we stop? Can we stop with the playing with Morgan Riley? Why don't you just find the best defenseman that you can? And hey, Morgan, if you're fucking worth $8 million, play with that guy. You should be able to play with anybody.
If you're as good as, you know, a number one, which he's not a real number one anyway. He is on this team, but he's not. He's never been a real number one. We've never had a real number one ever. So as long as I've been alive, we've never had a real number one defenseman.
Jamie McCowan, that's about it.
$1 million man, baby, all day long. What a mustache. What a muzzy.
Other than that, though?
No. They legit haven't had a, like, Dion, fun enough. Not... They played him as one, but he wasn't really one. And Riley, same thing. They've played him as one, and he's not one.
They've had guys like that are at the end of their career. Like, they have Brian Leetch and Larry Murphy, who were amazing defensemen in their prime, but the Leafs get them at the end of their career. But you're right. They've never had a stud defensive. They've never had a Victor Hedman.
No.
Or like a Duncan Keith or something like that on their back end.
No way.
That's why Tanev looks like we're all so surprised by Tanev. Because we don't have D-men like that.
No. So I'm just so over the Riley thing. Like, I guess you give it another shot this year and you see what happens. Tampa, Florida, however it shakes, it ends up shaking out here. But I'm a little, like, I'm not really willing to go much further than that on this guy. I'm really not. Like, have you, what more do you need to see? Year after year, it's find someone to play with Mo. Well, they've had guys and they've let them fucking go. Like, Labushkin could play with Mo, not the best. Shen was really good. Why the fuck didn't you just pay him an extra?
How about we stop worrying about playing with Morgan Riley? We let Riley go and just find a couple guys that can play defense. But
I'm just saying, like, Nashville signed Shen for like $2.5 million or something like that, 2.75. You can't pony up $3 million to keep Shen so that you finally got someone that can play with fucking Riley. We might be talking about the last 2 years like a lot differently if they would have just paid Shen an extra $250,000 to stay. Like, maybe that's not what it was all about. Maybe it wasn't. Like, Shen would have left anyway, but I don't know. I'm going off on Riley here just because I can't believe how bad he is every night. Like, it's crazy watching this guy turning pucks over in his own end. He's really not bringing you anything offensively. It's just like, what the fuck is he doing? What is he bringing you?
Nothing. But that's the whole Toronto mentality. It's always been that way, man. It's always been that way. We fall in love with players and then we give them money and we don't get rid of them. Like, honestly, around the league, people are probably like, Morgan Riley's not that good. But in Toronto, we're like, he's $8 million. He's our guy. He's good in the dressing room. We got to keep him. We got to find someone to play with him. I want for once for the Leafs to just fucking start coming in like, you know, guns a-blazing, being like, I'm sick of this. You're gone. You're out of here. Boom.
There's
walk away from a fucking one of the big four. Walk away from Morgan Riley. Just
100%. I totally agree. There's a word I think kids use for it nowadays about like guys like Morgan Riley and his play. I think the word is mid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have two kids.
Yeah. Big time mid. I don't know. I'm an old man, so I don't go rocking the word mid around much. But in this particular situation, I think it's accurate. Morgan Riley, very mid. Want to know what's not mid? Gonna tell you right now. Here at the Tip-In Maple Leafs podcast, we have teamed up with the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings. It might not feel like it right now outside. It sure as hell does not. After a couple of nice mild days, back to the cold and blowy, snowy, but won't be long now, folks. Spring right around the corner. Know how you can tell golfers are hitting the links, and we have some tournaments to talk about. And if you want to do more than just talk, put your money where your mouth is. Get in on the tee to green action with DraftKings Sportsbook. From Thursday's opening round through the closing round Sunday, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with tournament props, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. If you've never bet on golf before, it's easier than you think. Just pick something simple like a golfer to win the tourney and make your pick. It's just that easy. A ton of hockey games down the stretch as well, NBA games, and Major League Baseball, spring training, a ton of stuff, and a ton of golf tournaments coming up as well. So here's something special for first-timers. New DraftKings customers bet $5 to get 150 in instant bets. And sorry, 150 in bonus bets instantly. Bet $5 to get 150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only at DraftKings. The crown is yours. Spring right around the corner. We've got a little clock situation happening this weekend. We'll get more into that on the weekend. Going to be some big clocks and some small clocks that you're going to have to get your hands all over.
Yep.
Whip them. Gotta have to whip them. All right, but we'll get more into that.
Gotta run around the house grabbing your clocks.
Big time. Big time. Joseph Woll. You can't pin it on him, but he didn't look good.
Right? He doesn't look good in a little bit.
Past two starts, very shaky. First time he's been pulled. He got the yank hard in Vegas last night. Here's a bigger question.
We've all been yanked in Vegas.
Well, I was gonna say they arrived when's the game? Wednesday. I'm lost on days here. They arrived Tuesday night for a Wednesday night game, 10 p.m. game in Vegas. Do you think Tuesday night after they had a little dinner, maybe some of the boys go back to the room and start playing fucking Super Nintendo or whatever the fuck they do nowadays? But do you think there's a handful of that crew that was maybe like, all right, boys, lobby, pick a time, meet in the lobby, we're going out? Because looked like it. It sure as fuck looked like that might have happened.
I never understood that. Like, I don't know. Wouldn't you fly in Wednesday and then tell them, hey, like we got a game in Colorado on Saturday. We win tonight. We'll see you Friday to catch the plane.
Maybe they did say that, but the guys are just like, they were just too ready to get after it. They just couldn't wait, and they had to go as soon as they landed.
Management could control it. Like, management could be like, all right, we're not flying. Like, we can't fly in Tuesday because these guys are going to go, you know, be the wolf pack.
Time zone-wise, from Toronto to Vegas, you're not flying the day of. The time zone adjustment, you're just not going to do that. You have no choice but to fly out on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I guess you're right on that one.
But I'm not saying that happened.
It would be so tempting.
All I'm saying is the performance they put on against Vegas, it looked like a couple guys hit the town on Tuesday, and there might have been some hardcore yanking going on on Tuesday night. And then it just bled into Wednesday night. Woll gets the yank, but like no panic here on him though. Like he'll probably like two not so good games in a row, but it's hard to pin it on him. The three first period goals weren't great. No help.
I think he's slipping in the sense that Stolarz is kind of becoming the number one. We've said all year that there is no real number one. They're kind of going back and forth. But when Stolarz is playing so good and you're playing poorly, it's kind of going the other way. But I'm not worried about it. I heard people talking about like just play Stolarz from here on out.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention someone else's name there for a second.
Oh, no. No, not the Murdoch. But just crazy stuff about like he had two bad games and people just want him benched and they don't want to see him and just play Stolarz because they got to win the you can't take the chance on winning the division if Wall's playing like this. I'm like, he'll bounce out of it.
He'll 100%. 100%. Anyway, so we don't need to spend a ton of time on that. Before we start going more a little bit to wind down on the trades, Matthew Nyes. The only positive for me with Matthew Nyes to start.
Southpaw. Like,
and here's the thing. So he fights White Cloud right off the opening faceoff.
Yeah.
Beats the shit out of him. Just throwing fucking left haymakers. Like, this kid's fucking way tougher than I thought he was.
White Cloud didn't know he was a southpaw.
No, but
like he had no idea that was coming.
Just to have the balls to like, yeah, I'm going. Like, that's just an old school. Like, he's the least. He's a fucking, what do you call it? Anomaly on the Toronto Maple Leafs. He can bury the puck. He's hard on the fucking forecheck.
Really
he's
well done.
Right word, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's just old school, man. He'll fight, he'll score, he'll hit. We don't have anybody else that will do that. No. Not one person.
And he did it himself.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like he didn't have to be coerced into it. It wasn't like there was, you know, someone hit Matthews or something and he had to go in and fight.
No,
he walked out on the ice after taking that hit to the head last time in Toronto. And he's like, hey, bud, we're gone.
He's out on an island alone.
Yeah.
By himself as guys that can do that on this team.
I love it.
Alone on an island. So, I thought it was great. And how does that make sense too? That like, that's how the game started. And then they just like, no emotion, like they just kind of all perimeter fucking bullshit. Like that doesn't get you a little juice. You're in Vegas. You're probably going for drinks after you win this game, staying the night, whatever.
Two yanks,
couple fucking yanks, no problem. And they just like you just see Nyes pump the guy, and they're just oh ho hum, no big fucking deal, no emotion. Just the lack of.
It's always the way with this team.
It's not a good
look.
And I thought
the exact same thing. Like I was pumped after that fight. I was like, here we go. What a way to start the game.
And then
they were dog shit.
30 minutes later, my TV was off.
Yeah. I know. So, after it was 4-0, it's like, good night.
Oh, fuck. Forget it. I'm not on that team.
They're always like that. Anytime there's something that the fans get into, that get you into the game, it never seems to motivate this team. Like, these guys just don't care about that.
They don't. So, which is very sad to see, but just, okay, a couple quick things before we get out of here. So, Florida, Tampa, making moves. Where is Tree? Where is Brad Tree living? What's he doing?
Like, you want me to call him?
Can the Leafs compete with these guys? Like, I like the Seth Jones deal a lot. I wish the Leafs would have, like, he would have been a perfect fucking fit on the back end for the Leafs, man. I still can't believe they didn't get him with, like, what Florida gave up. Like, I don't know. I still can't believe that they couldn't have got him. And then Tampa comes over the top with like not a crazy trade, but they bring back Gord and what's the other guy? Bjorkstrad or whatever. Yeah. Bjorkstrad.
But Yanni Gord.
Yeah. Well, Yanni Gord now is there. So down the middle, they've got like what point?
They're forward.
Sorelli like, and Gord.
Yeah. Your third line is going to have Gord and Nick Paul on it. Like two guys who are good playoff performers.
I'll take that over what we're cooking right now.
Yeah, and like if it was Arthur line of Stomi and Bobby McMahon and Nick Robertson, if that's the line we've been going with, if we went into the playoffs with that, they would get completely shelled.
Like I like McMahon is a lot, but he's taken a slip here. Like he should be up and playing where Holmberg's playing. That's the truth. Like top six. I think you'll get more out of him playing with more skilled guys. And
where Holmberg shouldn't be playing.
No. And I would just like, I can deal with some fourth line of Lorenz. If they traded Camp tomorrow, that wouldn't bother me in the slightest. Maybe Domi, Lorenz, and I don't know, they put Reeves on waivers today. Do you think he clears? Probably, right? So, but that means they can.
It'd be nice if he didn't. It would free up a couple hundred thousand.
Well, it's still going to, if he clears, it'll still clear it up, right?
But not as much though.
So whatever.
Down to the Marlies. They get $1.15 million if he goes to the Marlies.
Like guys, like just that third line in general, like I just don't like it. Like I know they're not going to bring in three guys tomorrow. So I don't know how the third line is going to end up looking, but the size of Yarncroc, the size of Robertson, and even like Dewar's a smaller guy, although he's got a bit of jam to him. Camp is a bigger guy, but does not play what plays very soft. So I don't know, man. I'm not sure where we're headed here. Like, I really don't. And I don't know. Like, what do you see them doing? I'll just ask you straight up. Like, what do you want to see them do? Maybe
I want to see a blockbuster. I really do. I want to see a big trade. Like, I want to see from the fucking top ropes, Tree just come down and be like, eat this to Tampa and Florida and just bolster this team like you've never seen. Not going to happen.
Well,
I honestly think you have a better chance of him just adding a depth piece.
Let me stop you for a second. What are you you talking like a ranting in here? Who
yeah,
are you
like talking I'm talking like something huge.
So, well, that would be the biggest move they could make, ranting.
Yeah,
there's not a bigger move out there that they could make on forward wise.
Oh, I'm talking like not just one player.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I'm talking like something comes out of the woodwork. Like yeah, they get ranting it, and then they go out and they do another blockbuster.
Or no, for kind of like. Forget Randon. You could get maybe if you could get Konechny and Lawton and Ristolainen from not a blockbuster, but it's pretty big.
Yeah. Like when I say blockbuster, I kind of mean like just totally reshape the face of this team. Like we're talking at the 5 minutes ago about Matthew Nyes, right? What if they brought in like a few of those guys and all of a sudden you're going into the playoffs, not with Yarncroc and Holmberg and Camp, but you're going in with some fucking warriors.
They need some more jam, man. Big time. Like, They're too soft, dude.
But here's what's going to happen. They're going to get a couple old depth pieces, like one on defense and one on forward.
Yep.
And Tree's going to come out and be like, yeah, you know, I was in on everything, calling everybody, but it's just quiet. Couldn't get anything done. And then they're going to fall to second place. They're going to play Tampa or Florida, and they're going to get bounced in the first round.
100%. Like, if you can't get any, like, of the skilled players that are available, I would go and pay a lesser price for the toughest guys and maybe some size that are out there, like a Brandon Tanev. And I'm trying to think, like...
Yeah, get some jam.
Like, Shen... Like, I know, the team. I know Luke Shen went to Pittsburgh, but, like, would Dubas flip him again? Maybe.
Not to the Leafs.
Well, if you pay the right price, like, for a prospect or something, who knows?
That trade made no sense to me.
Doesn't really make any sense.
Like, two teams that are out of it decided to trade? Like, Shen and Bunting? I don't get it.
No, I don't really get it either. Anyway, I don't know, man. I think it should be... We'll see. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here, but I think that if you can't get a skilled forward and the defenseman you want, I would just go for lesser guys that'll cost you less to get, but more physical. Like, just other than Brandon Tanev, I'm having a hard time of thinking of who that would be, like, on the back end. Well,
there's a lot of guys that are available that are physical players that bring a little jam in the playoffs, but I want something more than that.
Yeah, more than that.
Like, I don't, that's just depth pieces. Like, I don't want a third or fourth line winger who bring, like, Brandon Tanev, who brings a little jam. I would take it, but I'm talking do something big. I don't know what it is, but just,
I guess,
but I guess that's more an off season move when maybe. You can really play with the cap in the summer.
So we'll see what happens tonight or tomorrow before the deadline. We'll see. But I guess the last thing I'll say to you is, like, look, I've gone back and forth on this, but just realistically, the way the team's been playing, I know they've been winning, but the way the team's been playing, the way the D is currently constructed, and just, yeah, some pretty stellar goaltending, but, like, you don't, like, that might just be as far as they're going to go, is how well the goalies end up playing in the playoffs, and that will be the end of it. If the goalies steal it, they go a couple rounds, that's it. But relying on the four guys up front again, I'm just, like, it's, old thoughts are creeping back in, man. And I'm looking at Florida and I'm looking at Tampa making moves. And I'm thinking, how the fuck can the Leafs beat those teams in the playoffs in a 7-game series? Like, legitimately, how can they do that? I'm not convinced they can. Well, they could.
They've done it once.
But it doesn't seem like with the same basically DNA that the Leafs are going to need, like personnel wise, to win one of those, if not both of those series. Well, one of them, depending on, or no, it could be both, depending if the Leafs slip to second. Who knows how it's going to play out? Could they get slipped to third? Who the fuck knows where they're going to be finishing here? But for me, like, I'm not sure I push all the chips in here, like the Cowans and these guys, because you might in a couple years here need to pivot and start building around, like, dude, it could be like you're building around Cowan and you're building around.
You're never going to build around Easton Cowan.
Okay, well, how long before you decide you're never going to win with these guys that are currently there?
Well, that's coming up soon. That time's coming up soon, but
it'd be 10 years next year, Chad.
But one of them, two of them are coming off the books at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So you can make a big decision then.
Sure.
And free up a shit ton of cap space. You free up $20 million if you walk away from them.
Yes. But, so, but would you not be pissed off to, like, they go all in for, like, depending on who the guys are coming back, whatever, like it costs you a cow and it costs you a first and something else, whatever. And all of a sudden, it's just what I'm saying is I'm not sure anything that they do is going to make that significant of a difference, because it's going to be the guys that are the same old guys that are either going to get us there or not. I'm still not convinced they can do it. I'll never be convinced of it until they actually fucking do it.
Yeah.
So if you push all in like that and you get bounced in the first round again, then we're going to be like, we fucking gave up Easton Cowan. Why did we not see that fucking these guys can't win?
I hear you. But at the same time, if they don't do anything and they blow it, we're gonna look and be like, why didn't you do anything? Like, Tampa and Florida did something and you fucking stood around with your hands in your pocket, and now we're fucking bounced in the first round again.
Yeah.
I'm tired of in Toronto, like, looking at our prospects and our picks as more than anybody else looks at them.
Yeah.
Like, Easton Cowan, he's good. He's a good player or whatever. But he's not the fucking, you know, he's not Celebrini or Bedard or something like that. Like, he's another guy when it comes to the NHL. He might have some flashes, but I don't think he's going to be anything huge.
I see him as a gamer, which they don't have enough of. And I just think he's like,
what if he's another Nick Robertson?
No, I just don't see it.
Okay, but I'm just saying, he could be another Nick Robertson. He could be like a second line player.
Well, instead of Cowan, we start with Robertson and send him the fuck out first.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I want to see tomorrow. I don't want to see just adding depth to this. I would love to see a trade where like three guys off the roster are gone.
Sure.
You know?
100%. But then, Robertson, Kampf, and pick another one.
But I don't put, then I'm nervous that it'll be the one I don't want. Like, I don't want them to trade Matthew Knives.
Oh, there's no fucking chance. There's no chance. 0% chance.
But if it was a huge deal and you were getting back like a player in his prime,
I don't think they're doing it. I don't think they're doing it for Rantanen as a rental, and he would be the only guy that they would trade Knives for. There's not another guy on the market.
What if another team that's not in the playoffs has a star player who's like 27, got like 4 years left on his contract? And
can
they're like, hey, I'm just spitballing. I don't know any names.
Okay.
But then they're like, hey, Matthew, we want Matthew Knies. Because Matthew Knies is 5 years younger.
I think it's very unlikely that the Tree Living would do that. And like the conversation with Berube about like, you need guys. You can't win without guys like that. You can't.
No, you can't. Matthew Knies would be. And yeah, you're right. Berube, he'd blow a fucking gasket if Matthew Knies got traded.
No.
That's his favorite player. But wouldn't it be great if all of a sudden, like, Domi was gone and Robertson was gone and Kampf was gone, and in return you like upgraded these positions?
No, I agree, but I think losing I could deal with McMahon, but like what, like he's obviously not going to get you as much as Knies would. But for me, Knies is like outside of your top guys, he's the next fucking guy. He's right there. So
yeah,
it would have to be something special for me to contemplate. Like moving Knies, it would have to be something special.
No, Knies, I wouldn't move. But what I would do, I would upgrade all those positions. I would get rid of roster players, and if I had to sacrifice an Easton Cowan in return to upgrade like Domi and Cam, like a big blockbuster. But in return, I had to throw in a couple first round picks in Easton Cowan. But it was a blockbuster deal. I would do it, And then there's no excuse. If you don't fucking win after that, if the GM goes all out, balls to the wall, and you fucking fail again, well, guess what? Guess who's not getting signed in the summer?
Yeah, 100%.
And then you could really throw a wrench into things. You want to get your picks and prospects back? You could trade Austin Matthews. You could trade William Nylander.
Yep. And there's a ton of decent people that potentially, like Sam Bennett could be available, UFA, Rantanen. Like,
you could totally transform this team. Don't go all in tomorrow, what's the fuck? It gives everybody an excuse.
It really is the last chance because Tavares' deal is up and so is Mitch's. So this really is the last chance for this group. Either make it happen, boys, or we're changing it. But I've thought that in the past, and they just have been reluctant and not willing to do it. Yeah. So I'm not even convinced, Chad, that with another first round exit, that they just won't be like, well, we try it again. Try it again. Resign Mitch, lower contract for JT, but next year we'll get it. Next year we'll be able to do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. I hope it doesn't come to that. Anyway, let's bow tie this baby. We'll be back tomorrow anyway. So
yeah, we'll be back tomorrow after the trade deadline to break down what the Leafs do
or
don't do.
We don't know.
Just before we go, just give me a quick percentage or what your thoughts. Something's going to happen.
Yes.
Nothing's going to happen.
No, I think something happens. I think it will not be
big.
I don't know. I'm leaning not big. I'm leaning smaller, giving up smaller, like lower end draft picks for a small, like a forward piece and a defenseman piece, but not a big splash. I don't think that's where I don't think they're doing the Brock Nelson. I don't think, like, I don't know. I wouldn't anyway. Like, not for, like, I don't love, like, I don't, I like Scott Laughton, but is he going to really change things for you?
The people on the trade board, I don't love them.
No. So
that's why, like, my dream is something that's not on the trade board.
Yeah, something that's, okay.
Like, he's in the background working on something big.
I'm open to that. And I would like to see something like that. But I'm thinking maybe some secondary forward, secondary D that won't cost you a lot. That might be the end of that. I don't know. Could be wrong. We'll find out.
We will find out. Anyway, for the Tip in Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget, if you want your thoughts on the trade deadline, what the Leafs do, what they don't do after the trade deadline, if you just want to rant about it, email us a video at the Tip in Maple Leafs podcast at gmail.com. You can also message us on Facebook and Instagram, and you can find us there at Tip in Maple Leafs podcast. You can just slide into our DMs. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit like, hit subscribe, and leave a comment below to let us know how you feel about trade deadline and what the Leafs should do for this and even next season, what they should do. Anyway, I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
We will.
And make sure to download our audio podcast as well, guys. Not just listen, but give us a little download and give us some love on the audio side of things as well. Spotify, Apple, whatever. But we will see what happens tomorrow. We'll see what the team looks like at 3 p.m. on Friday afternoon. Should be very interesting. Tree will either be praised by the fan base or they'll be wanting to burn the house down, depending on what Tree Living does by 3 p.m. tomorrow, Friday afternoon. Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Catch you later.
You're listening to the Tip in Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave.